This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Olga. And Olga is a 3-5 reflector with the right angle cross of rulership. She's a career and life coach, as well as being a professional astrologer, which is juicy. Welcome, beautiful soul.
Thank you. It's so good to be here with you.
As we do, let's dive in because this is about you and your journey. So how did human design find you, or you find human design? Would you like to share?
Yes, good question. Was it me or was it human design? So I have been very seriously into astrology for the past, I want to say 12 years, and human design kind of always been around. You know, when I say people I'm into astrology, those who know, they're kind of like, what do you think about human design? And I'm going to be honest, I was very resistant for years to human design because astrology to me makes so much sense. It's so logical. There are thousands of years of experimentation and research. And then human design was like, okay, this guy went on a trip, got a download. What is this? So I kind of, you know, I've looked up my type before, saw that I was a reflector, thought cool, never looked at it again. And earlier this year, it's kind of, I don't know if it's my algorithm bubble, but it almost feels like it's been a trend for people to, you know, look into human design and align your business, kind of goals and routines and rituals. And so it's kind of been on my periphery. And over the summer, I got to the point where I was working so much, yet I was kind of like, okay, I need to be careful to not work too much to the, you know, get into the burnout territory. And so that surfaced again. And I, you know, I was like, let me see what's my ideal or more ideal routine. And I just kind of fell down the rabbit hole for real this time and opened myself up to it. And yeah, we're in experimentation mode now.
It's a constant experiment. I feel that. And I know with astrology, because I've come in from the opposite way. I obviously knew, well, I knew astrology, but not to the depths that I know it now. And human design was my kind of first real language, I suppose. And then I had to go and learn astrology. Whereas I often feel for those like yourself that are deeply invested in astrology, and then you come into human design, it's just like, whoa, this is just confusing. But I have really found that through my own journey of just navigating that bridge, I suppose, between both of them and trying to kind of find where it is. But it's just, unlike, as I was saying, unlike astrology, it's kind of like you can really feel into it, and in a way it gives you answers. Or, but human design kind of just keeps going with its experiment. It just keeps evolving. Do you find that, or have you found that?
Yeah, it's an interesting, for me, it felt almost like a missing piece of the puzzle that kind of made sense. Or expanded rather on some of the things that I knew about astrology. You know, like in astrology, the sign of Libra is a sign of Libra. And of course, there's some critical degrees, but it doesn't go as much in depth. I mean, it does, but you have to really dig really deep. And so with human design, what I found was kind of piecing pieces of the puzzle together more. And then from there, having a better understanding of how to actually integrate that into your day-to-day life, how to use it. So I love that almost applicational aspect of human design. And in a way, it's nice that sometimes it gives you the answers, because when you're on this lifelong journey of exploration, you're like, can somebody just tell me what to do? And in a way, human design kind of does that. But then, of course, in a lot of ways, it doesn't. And it's up to you, right, to live by it and get surprised.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So finding out that you were a reflector, you were saying there before you kind of found it out, and then you were just like, yep, okay, fine, whatever. And then coming back in, because there was a juncture where you've come back in of going, I need to know more about myself. Would you mind sharing how that experience was for you and what you thought about that?
Yeah, it's funny. At first, I was like, ooh, I'm in the 1%. How cool. Here I am, this special little snowflake. And then the more I learned about it, the more I was like, oh shit, what do I do with this now? You know, how, why do we get picked to be the reflectors? Because the rest of the world is set up so much more naturally for other times. But it's definitely, I think I've, you know, naturally being a reflector, I've gone through some career metamorphoses and just even looking at it from that perspective and that lens, now I'm understanding why that has happened or how and where I'm now doing, I think what really me as a reflector I'm supposed to be doing. It gives me so much appreciation for that and really allows me to see, okay, this is my special little kind of nest in the world that I get to carve out for myself and be that and contribute in that way that is really cool.
Have you taken the deep dive into obviously being that, coming from that astrologer side of kind of then taking the deeper dive into, okay, well, here's my astrology, these are my houses, these are where all of these, conjunctions and stuff sit. If I add the layer of human design onto that, how does that feel? Like, how did that, did, was that juicy for you or just confusing?
I think it's both. On one hand, it's definitely, it gives a little bit of that nuance and understanding of those layers because astrology is so layered, right? The same elements can mean so many different things. And in human design, you know, a gate is a gate, and it kind of, yeah, brings to the surface some of that nuance. But then on the other hand, it can be confusing. Because it's like, I kind of feel like I understand it, but I think it's so experiential that sometimes, like, getting out of your head and into the experience of it takes some energy and time. So I think I'm still kind of that in the in between, trying to get out of my head and experience it or like really understand, okay, like, here's this concept, but what does it really mean? How does it really show up in the way that I communicate or do things? So it's a bit of both.
I love that. It is what it is. And that 3-5 profile of yours, how did that feel when you were reading about that? Have you identified with that of going, yeah, here it is?
On one hand, yes. On the other, I feel like I kind of had some denial where I'm like, what do you mean, like trying things out and then moving on, even though it completely is really true and does really show up. I think I was kind of bummed in the beginning when I found out, and it said, you know, one of the descriptions was like, this is the hardest profile to experience as a human. I'm like, well, great. I already have the 1% to deal with. Now I have the hardest profile. But I think, like, now that I've had some time with it, it is, it's that sweet freedom that it gives you as well to just experiment and normalize, like, why do I want to play piano one week? The next week, I'm completely don't even want to look at it or not touch it. So it shows up, I would say, more like kind of on a trivial day-to-day level for me, at least from my point of awareness now.
Yeah. I found in my journey and with these years sort of sitting here with, people like yourself, there's a lot of information about reflectors. Again, that's why I started this podcast. That's just not necessarily true. Or even if it is true, it doesn't kind of resonate with people. And just the whole reflector, barrage of information that's out there generally isn't correct to our lived experience. But also the profile information, sometimes we can't land on it because it's very, oh, well, it's trial and error, or it's, you're a martyr heretic. And it's just like, what is all these words? They don't land for me. So I really feel for us or for all types in this space, because it's that's where the experiment really comes in. It's just like, what do I, or how do I feel about this? And some 3-5s like yourself are very much, it doesn't mean I've made mistakes through, I've had to trial and error. I actually have been really consistent
Right.
in my process, but it might be more about this mutative aspect. So I find this is just the joy of getting the correct information and kind of landing it within our own essence of going, that's how it feels for me. Because I the 3-5s in my life, when I'm with them, it's always so illuminating. One of my daughters is a 3-5, so I see it firsthand of just going, it's not necessarily making mistakes. This is just through my opinion. It's very much about mutating experience so that we can all learn from it. Yeah, I don't know. Love your thoughts on that, by the way, because I'm not a 3-5, but I have a lot of third lines.
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate your take because I think it's very similar to astrology. You know, when we get into learning something new, especially when it's about us, we want to cling onto some level of certainty. What are all these terms? And so those words like the martyr or, you know, a Pisces, we tend to, or I want to like cling onto them rather than kind of let it sit and understand and yeah, get more into the experience rather than this is, you know, a concept and this is how I'm gonna define myself from now on.
Yeah. And that is like another kind of, I guess, segue for us to dive in a little bit more to that reflector experience. And I'd love to hear your view on this, to read we are the mirrors to people that we absorb and amplify. How was that experience for you? And just kind of did you, okay, well, this is I've always done this, or was it paranoia kick in, or how was that for you?
Yeah, I remember that piece being the mirror really sticking out when I first found out I was a reflector. And I just remember thinking, yes, of course, that's what I've been doing my whole life. And it's, to me, it's not even as much of like being a mirror, but rather like walking into a room and automatically sensing what it's like, the vibe, you know, being able to understand that on a very emotional level right away. And I always thought that was a very key element to kind of my personality or who I am. And learning about it more from, you know, the human design lens and really understanding how that fits into the world, I find that really cool and really an honor now that I get to really use those strengths of as a reflector in my, you know, career and work with people. I think sometimes we might think that, you know, being a mirror is this like burden or this thing, this service that we have to provide to the rest of the world, but it's also a way for us to experience life just as much, you know, just as much firsthand as it is for anybody else, if that makes sense.
That's so much sense and so beautifully said. Because it's not always that we are just mirroring others. Like I find that people will come and say, well, what am I then? If I'm just a mirror for others, what am I? But you've just worded it really well of this is also our experience to sample. And when we kind of strip away a lot of the intellectual sides of it, it's actually quite enjoyable. It's an enjoyable experience, whereas that we get to kind of sample all these moods and feelings and wants and needs and desires. Well, I find that now that I'm in it, I'm just like, well, I couldn't imagine doing life any other way, even when it feels a little overwhelming,
Yeah. And the fact that we get to go home, take a shower, and be a completely new person, or, you know, not a new person, but be able to switch so quickly is also such a gift in a lot of the instances of life.
When you did you do the journey back? Like it's always something that I love to ask people on this podcast of, sometimes we sit here with this information astrology or whatever modality it is, and then we kind of take the journey back to our childhood. How was that experience for you growing up? Can you look back in this and see a lot of that openness and intuition, sensitivity?
Yeah, definitely intuition. I remember as a kid thinking that my first instinct, like when you meet another person in kindergarten or in school, I could always tell whether that person was going to be like trouble or not, or whether the rest of the group was going to like them or how they're going to behave. And I always thought that was weird, but now I'm realizing, oh, that's, perfect reflector, most normal reflector behavior. And as well with, I kind of mentioned having a career metaphor, meta, I can't talk. My throat is not defined today. Metamorphosis. And, being able to, I know that's not really childhood, but being able to look back and see like, oh, that's why it's not that I'm flaky or I can't figure out what to do with my life, but rather I was surrounded by people and I was interested in a particular thing at a time. And that's how, the reflector experience goes. And it just, I find a lot of comfort in being able to normalize a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Did you change, I want to say timelines then, but change like direction with who you were? Like, can you kind of look back on that, those experiences in your life and go, oh my gosh, here I was being this because of these people. Like, they say for reflectors, it's our environment. And I've always found that looking back through our friendships, through the people we're around, and all of a sudden we're talking with an accent or whatever it is. Have you had those fun experiences? You probably still do.
Totally. And you know what's very interesting about it? I don't find that, oh, I got into this hobby or this thing because I was surrounded by people. Like, yes, that has sparked my interest because of my environment, but all of the big decisions that I've made in life or pivots and things like that, I still deeply feel like it is me. I wasn't just influenced randomly for some big decisions, but definitely, like I remember, I was working in PR for this beauty brand, and I was working with a lot of makeup artists, and I was like, oh my God, should I go get certified or trained how to do makeup? Like now, 10 years later, I could care less about that kind of stuff, but it just, yeah, whoever I was working with or spending a lot of time with, I was kind of like, ooh, should I, be a photographer, a travel writer? Like it has shifted so much. And I am very good with picking up accents, I think.
Every time I hear like this familiarity of just going, oh, should I go and study this or should I go and do this? Gate 48 always comes to mind because it's one of my favorite gates, and I know you've got it in both your Saturns. So I love that experience from you of going, oh yeah. Do you feel that? Do you feel that gate 48 of needing to know more, needing to get, oh my gosh, I don't know enough. I need to know more. I need to get this certification or I need to get that. I mean, it's much deeper than that, but have you felt that
All
throughout your
the
existence?
time. Oh my God, I cannot stop. It's even when I kind of first, I guess, rediscovered human design and I just went on a binge of learning everything about it. Almost, I was like, do I know it's a 4+ year process, but should I get certified? And then, as the moon kind of kept moving through the gates, I'm like, oh, okay, that was a phase. But
Yeah.
yes, definitely just that hunger for information and never feeling like there's enough that I could know. It's been good and also in some ways challenging for sure.
Yeah. What are some of those challenges with that? Would you mind sharing?
Yeah, just even thinking about astrology, like I was, being professionally trained and as an astrologer, I was studying it for so long. But when people started coming to me for readings, I was like, who am I to give them this information? I barely know anything. Same when I, first kind of decided to continue with my coaching path and starting coaching people. I mean, now I see, kind of the different side of it. And I don't feel anymore that, like, who am I to be giving people answers about their lives when I don't have my own life completely together. But it was, yeah, just, I feel like anytime I'm up for something big and important in my life, there is always, I don't know enough about this. I need to know more to make a decision. And so now it's more like a sign, okay, if this is coming up that I don't know enough, that means that I'm up to something really juicy here.
Well, you'd know Saturn. I guess this is the beauty of having well, I found it as well, of having knowledge in astrology to really like sit with that and understand that kind of archetypal kind of influence and how it kind of leverages into the gates and knowing deeper information about the I Ching or the other kind of the centers and stuff like that. I think that's what why I'm still here in human design, because it's not just one, it's always so much more to kind of dig into and appreciate, I suppose. So I love that what you were saying there of going, I kind of know when something's bitey or juicy, because it's like, here we go again, this same old chestnut.
Right. And I think also it's that Saturn nature in this case is so, like, it's Saturn because it's kind of like, oh, you got to be careful. Do you know enough? Or, that little teacher or the little kind of boundary maker that shows up. Yeah, I do enjoy kind of having the background of astrology and layering it with the gate information. I think that's just such a good marriage of the
I love that, the marriage, yeah. The
two.
codependent.
I love that.
when you're sharing there before about decision making and things like that, and that is another thing that really comes up for us. You get human design, it says your strategy is to wait a lunar cycle, and you're like, are you kidding? How's that experience been for you of waiting, or were you always a waiter?
I wonder if it's my 3-5 that I'm like, I know I should wait on this, but I just cannot. So, what I've been trying to do is kind of give myself permission. It doesn't have to be a lunar cycle. I can go try a few things out, see how that feels, and I'll call it kind of my way of using my strategy. But it's so hard. It's especially in the beginning when you see this and you're like, how, what exactly does that mean? What am I looking at? What am I looking for? How will I know? I think it goes back to that, give me more information rather than give me
Yes.
a lunar cycle and then have me figure it out.
That's what really rubs me up the wrong way and has done for years. And I still get ranty about it. Like I still find that energy in my body just go, for fuck's sake. When it's just this, slide on a slide deck or whatever, just goes, wait a lunar cycle. No one tells you what that means. And it's not necessarily waiting, it's actively being present and just experiencing.
Exactly.
But it's still out there of going, wait a lunar cycle. And I just think, here you go, you're getting me on my rant, getting me on my soapbox now, my fifth line heresy, which you would know all about, going, gosh, do better, people.
Right. And also, like in the right when I found out about the strategy too, I was like, oh, maybe I should journal and just journal every day for the lunar cycle. But then, like being a reflector, I can't consistently keep up with journaling. So, like that alone, to wait a lunar cycle was kind of, yeah, like I felt like we got set up in that way. But definitely, I think as we reframe it to we're not passively waiting, but rather going back to sampling and experiencing, that just, yeah, that is a beautiful reframe. So much more useful.
So much more useful. And even the journaling, because I do journal, but I'm not consistent with it. It's when I feel, and I've found lately, like sometimes some periods of my life, and you would love this or probably do it yourself, it's never the same, because we've got those, planets moving in different ways. We're traversing not just one, we're not just traversing a lunar cycle, we're traversing a whole cycle. So it's never ever going to be the same. So it's kind of the same, but different. So yeah, I just find that
Right.
these journeys through our life are all always evolving and they're always changing. So there's no one way that's ever going to be the same. There might be very similar patterns, which I love from an astrology point of view, but it's always going to be different because maybe those, outlying planets are moving in different gates. They're moving, in different areas. So, excuse me.
Yeah, and I just lost my thought. As you were talking about the consistency and, never being the same, it's I think so hard for our mind or my mind that craves certainty. And it's like we're already, we're supposed to be experimenting. And then there's that layer of just uncertainty, even with the most trivial things like journaling. Just, yeah.
I could imagine for a third line, it's very boring.
Kind of
In some
is.
aspect, it's like, this is not, I'm not experimenting enough, to create friction or mutation. So this is like, I'm bored now. And you need to step into the world.
Yeah.
And kind of that's why I think they say, the trial and error or make the mistakes. It's like I need to experience it and not just write about it. Some do. I could imagine.
Yeah. And like for me, I'm always, which is not a good thing to do, but almost like too attached to the outcome or too attached to a result. Like if I'm gonna do something, it better produce some sort of result. Otherwise, why am I doing this? And like part of living life is getting more comfortable with uncertainty and sometimes or most times not being attached to the outcome, especially I think for reflectors specifically. But it's
The fun ride.
nobody gives us the manual.
No. And I hear what you were saying like early on. Sometimes it's just like, just tell me what to do. And I feel like we've kind of, again, echoing what you were saying, using my words, we've been given this little bit of a disservice here. It's just like, wow, well, I'll get the poor me. But every other type kind of gets a little bit more of a manual, whereas the reflector really doesn't. And we're just kind of trying to figure it out ourselves through our own lived experience. But we're sometimes shooting ourselves in the foot because, we've got people out there saying, oh, well, if you're this type or you're this profile, this is what you should be doing in business or career. And there's so much more to it than that. It's not as easy as that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And even I think it's almost like there is a double layer where first there isn't a manual and we're just supposed to kind of figure it out, but then we get to second guess ourselves as like what I just did, was it me or was it everyone around me or the transit? And so I think there is a skill that's available to us is to start developing that self-trust, and be able to discern where, where's what, who am I? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Is it mine? And sometimes it feels like it's, going back to that not doing enough. Like, why do I get to be stuck with this kind of thing when, other types might go out there and initiate or wait for an invitation. And it's like, it feels like the other types are so much more clear, which I know is, just a perception. But yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And I often think, or I often know and feel that through these cycles that we have that ability to be able to pull in from all of them. And I think that's not taught enough either. We can wait for invitations. We can initiate in ways. Like I'm not saying go out there and initiate, but there are aspects of our experience where we have that energy. It's borrowed. But there are times to do things and we feel it. But I feel that some of the aspects of learning this, it's just like, oh, well, I can't do that. I've got to wait. And it's just like, I reckon your body knows, and when your body says go for it, you go for it. And some might fail, but some won't. And you kind of learn the difference between what's correct for you and what isn't. Because that's all it is. No one, I, again, getting back up on my soapbox here, it is an experiment, and no one should be able to tell you what's correct for you, because what's correct for you is correct for you.
Right. And even if somebody told us what's, go do this thing, are we really going to listen and go do it
No.
if it's not going to feel right to us? So, yeah, that's life.
I chuckle and I'm like, there's a couple of, like, just using profiles in, like, throwing you in a little box here, but there's a couple of profiles. It's just like, don't even bother telling them what to do. And a third line's one of them. Don't even bother. Because again, it's just like, you're not honoring the mechanics if you're trying to tell a third line what to do. They're not going to listen. Well, they might, but they've still got to go around and fuck around and find out, you know. So I just think,
Can confirm.
shush. Yeah. And make it better, because they'll figure it out. Something, when I pulled up your chart just before we chat, because it's something I love to do. I don't like to look at it until just before, and I'm like, oh, and you'd appreciate this as an astrologer. You sit right on a line between some of your colors and tones changing. Like, your birth time sits right on this. It's just a couple of minutes. You don't change being reflective, but for example, you move from open taste to closed taste within a couple of minutes. You move from outer vision, excuse me, to inner vision. And you also move from being three quarters right to a quad right just within like 3 minutes. So, you know, when we're talking about like nuance and experimentation, when I look at charts like yours, I'm like, this is even more juicy, because it's kind of both, because it's a nuance. It's not one or the other. It's kind of sitting there. Do you, not that you may have gotten into variables right now, but how does that feel for you?
Yeah, I think that is where the sign of Pisces really resonates. I'm a Pisces sun, and Mercury retrograde in Pisces too. That kind of, the retrograde going backwards. And I've always felt that I can figure it out and kind of adjust to any scenario or any environment. I can find my way to talking to. Not that I might enjoy talking to, a particular personality, but I've always felt like I can find my way around how to work with that. And some of it might be people pleasing, which is not the best. But that's kind of, I think that's what is coming up for me as I'm hearing that. And just being pretty comfortable with change as much as it's humanly possible. It's not always fun, but kind of being able to throw myself into something and figure it out later, that has always been something that I really relied on, to make big life decisions. So I don't know if that is kind of related to what you're mentioning.
A lot of people, they're really in the advanced, like the substructure of human design, which are those variables. And birth time can be really tricky, because someone's 8:15 is another person's 8:20. And in human design, those minutes, kind of people bang on about them, like, this is your variables. But when we're in a flux, it's like, well, what is birth time? You know, this is the nuts and bolts that
Right.
I get into. So I love charts like yours, and even charts like mine, where there's a kind of a little bit of a nuance here of going, let's experiment even more, because we do know. I believe we do know when we're born. I've had my birth time verified by a Vedic astrologer, just because, you know, I needed to know. And it was off by 4 minutes. So it was still pretty close, because you just can't trust the doctors and nurses. So I always just go, oh, how do you know for certain that's when you were born? Like, that time, because in human design, it changes so much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Fascinating. And the fact that I actually don't know if there is a way to verify that through human design, but the way that we can verify it through astrology and, big life events and trace it back is, it's kind of wild. And at the same time, it, I think, is such a reminder that when we come into this world, we come in for a reason and to kind of find our own little nest and carve a space for us and, yeah, contribute in such a unique and special way that even people with two charts being born right then and there at the same time, plus or minus 1 minute, it's just so fascinating and just another layer of appreciation, I think, for who we are and for living our design and our charts.
Have you met somebody who's born around the same time as you?
Yes. So Shuai Wang, who is on your podcast, actually is my natal chart twin. So we were at a astrology conference together, and it was, a couple of hundreds of people, and we were sitting next to each other in a small group of 10, and we realized and, kind of went over both of our charts in the class that we were taking. And it was really crazy how around the same time we both, got laid off around the same time, immigrated around the same time. So those big life events really kind of tracked. But then within those life events, the choices that we've made, kind of the motivation was very similar or more or less the same, but what we did with it was very different. And so our, if you look on paper, our lives are quite different, but internally, when we spoken to each other, we're like, oh my gosh, this is like being in my own head talking to you. So, and I know that we have different profiles, even though we're, about 13 minutes apart across four different time zones.
Yeah. Well, Shay, 2-5, and you're then there 3-5. Just jumped. That's that jump there. That's so close. I love that story. When you shared that story with me, I was like, get out of town. What are the odds of two humans going to an astrology retreat and being sat beside each other and they're natal twins? I was like,
I actually had ChatGPT calculate the statistical probability. I can't remember the number, but it was like one in some crazy trillions. It's wild. I feel like it changed my life having somebody else who will experience, the same transits in a very similar way. Like I find so much comfort in that I have a buddy to compare notes with.
yeah. And thank you for sharing that as well, because that's really illuminating and important, because we have this as well with people who ha are twins, for example. It's just like, well, I'm a twin, so but it's about how people experience their life through their own lens. So you just sharing that is so insightful to go, even though you're natally very similar. And your experiences, it's interesting that even your, immigration experience, how you've kind of processed things differently has led to a different kind of trajectory of your life. It's fascinating. It's fascinating, but so
I
helpful.
remember, yeah, I was going to say, I remember in my astrology training, we would look at twin charts, and it was about that nuance and sometimes a degree of a planet, or it might be, a gate in human design. How, yeah, it's really what we do with it. And I love, there's a great astrologer, her name is Bernadette Brady. And the way she describes it is astrology is, I'm totally going to butcher what she says, so I'll give you my interpretation. Astrology gives us the kind of the lessons that we're going to learn throughout our lives. And then what we do, the free will, because there's a lot of, fate versus free will talk. And so the free will is how we show up within these lessons, what we do, what we learn and take away from them is how the rest of our live goes. I mean, it's not as dramatic as that, but really there is a, you know, it's not just a one-way street. It's really how we show up to the experience.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's talk about you and where you're at and what you're doing so the people listening along at home can follow you or join you in the endeavors that you're going forth and doing. Would you like to share?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so I am at Olga Virk on Instagram, and astrocoacholga.com is my website. So I do primarily career coaching. Of course, there's a lot of life involved because we live and we work. I say that I bring in a pinch of astrology, and the way that I love using astrology is really as an assessment tool to see what your strengths are and your, you know, kind of blind spots. And then just really figuring out what's stopping you, what's in the way of you living your vision and living from that space of your vision. So I support people through one-on-one work, through some group programs. I'm starting a new drop-in group coaching sessions program where it's literally like a yoga class where you can drop in for a session and then move on with your life. So I do that. And I also contribute to a coaching academy where I got my training as a coach. They're called the Academy for Coaching Excellence. We do courses for whether you're an aspiring coach or a leader in at work in your communities. So there's a lot of really great support through that. And I would say, yeah, if you want to get in touch, just go on my website and message me from there or DM on Instagram.
I have and it's a very random question to ask you here because I'm just thinking back. When did you immigrate to the US? Did you come
I
with your
was,
family?
no, I was 16 years old at first. I came on a high school exchange program by myself. And then from there, I came back for college, kind of went back and forth a couple of times, but now I've been by myself. My mom just finally moved to the US about 6 months ago or a year ago. So it's been a weird ride.
Wow, and so you've come from Russia. That's
Yes.
where you're born. That's a big cultural shift too, isn't it? Same, same, samesies with Shui. Yeah.
And now that I'm thinking about it, how really much more at home I feel in the US now. Maybe it is that reflector, you know, picking up. I mean, down to I think even the accent, I get so many comments sometimes from people like, you barely have an accent. How did that
Yeah.
happen? Yeah, it's weird how sometimes I forget that this is not the place where I grew up.
Do you have any of those feelings, those kind of yearnings for that ancestral kind of line back to Russia? Is it something that, or you kind of have really landed back in your home where you were always meant to be? You know, that feeling energetically?
Totally. I think there's a little bit of both. There is, I think also go through periods of time where I'm researching and trying to find out. And I was so lucky when my grandmother was still alive, I got to kind of ask her a lot of stories. And there's definitely a longing every now and then, especially around the holiday time. But I don't know, maybe time will tell what I do with it down the line too.
Yeah. So do you have any other siblings or is it just your mum and you?
I don't, yeah, I'm an only child. My dad still lives in Russia and my mom is here now.
Does that feel good having her there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been, I'm so glad that that's been able to work out. And because it's a very weird thing to live so far apart for years from your family. And yeah, there are definitely, I think a lot of the things that I didn't even realize that I was kind of missing out on because I wasn't thinking too hard about it. Otherwise, it'd be
Yeah. Well, beautiful soul. Thank you so much for your time. It was lovely. I'd love to have more chats with you around this. Need to get like lots of people back in and just like, how are you going now? What's changed? Because it's always
Yes, that's
changing.
absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. It was so lovely to meet you. Thank you for what you do because this podcast has been such a huge part of my own learning and my own binge consumption of human design content. So I really, it's such a joy to be here with you.
Appreciate that. And I equally am so thankful. Like I get to hear these stories about like you and Shuai and people meeting each other and it just fills my heart. I just go, oh my gosh, thank you that this ramblings of, you know, because we often feel that that's it's my story's nothing. No, your story is everything. It's not even a story, it's just a shared or a lived experience. And that it matters. It matters how we process and identify and get to know ourselves. So thank you for sharing parts of yourself. I'm sure there's so much more we could have chatted about, but we're running out of time.
Thank you. And yeah, it's really, I love that just the way when we hear these stories, how it normalizes our own experience and adds that layer of nuance. So yeah, if you keep doing, check-ins with past guests from a listener's perspective, it's very welcome.
Yeah, I might be a bit of fun. Thank you, beautiful soul. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your journey, and hope to talk to you again soon.